Hello, welcome back to Sid's Music Corner. This week, I want to start off with an American classic. You know what? She may be a hoe, but she's my hoe. The hoe is mine. You gotta get her. You gotta get that. The hoe is mine. You gotta get her. You gotta get that bitch. I'm first in line. What? The hoe is mine. Thank you.
No, my.
Match your pitch. My.
That's a deep cut. I know our listeners skew younger, so I'm not sure everybody will know that one.
My fault.
Yeah. Go back and watch Brown Sugar, parenthesis 2003.
Yeah, that sounds right. 2003? Yeah.
Nice.
Ren and Tan, the hip hop Dalmatians, they gave us that classic.
You got to have a gimmick.
Yeah, you got to.
That certainly relates, kind of.
It relates.
Okay.
It was either going to do that one or Destiny's Child, Nasty Girl. Nasty, put some clothes on. I told you.
That's a good alternative opening.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was a nasty girl in this movie.
You're nasty, girl. You're nasty. You're trashy. That's my favorite part of the song. When Kelly Rowland really go in.
Slut shame anthem.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Okay. Well, we got all of the materials needed to unpack this film here with us today. So why don't you tell our listener homegirls what we watched this week?
Yeah. This week we tuned into Dear Frank. Currently available to stream on Tubi, written by Louis F. Montalvo, co-directed by Josh Weber and Brian White, and also starring Brian White, Claudia Jordan, and Columbus Short.
All right, let's start the show.
The new Chitlin Circuit.
Welcome back to the new Chitlin Circuit. The only podcast dedicated to Black indies only. My name is Lex.
And I'm Sid.
And each week we watch a Black independent film. Why? Because we love them.
We most certainly do. And each and every week we start off with our 60-second challenge. We've been watching a lot of Martin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Where Alexis will explain the plot of the film we're reviewing in 60 seconds or less. This week, brought to us by Trojan.
Okay. That's okay, girl.
Practice safe sex.
All right. Miss girl, do your show.
Okay, let me stop playing and start the clock. Let's go.
Okay. There's a couple, very, very happy couple. Frank and what's shorty name was?
Beth.
Frank and Beth, very happy couple. Then Beth just messes around and drops dead at their 20th wedding, like vow renewal, whatever. And she dead. And I'm telling you, this tears him up. They ain't got no kids, so that's their situation. But because they couldn't. So he's tore up. Then his brother, who's a police officer named George, actually found out that she was murdered. Somebody poisoned her. So then not only did Frank find that out, he finds her journal and realizes not only did she cheat on him while she was still alive, but she was cheating on him all the time. Like, I can't even explain to you the type of stuff she was writing in that book. Like, she was fucking literally everybody. So he goes on a rampage to try to avenge her death and all of that stuff. That's different. How did I do?
Ooh, girl, you was on the wire. I mean, when I tell you 2 seconds left, 2 seconds.
Because I almost got carried away thinking about all that stuff in that book.
You had me at.
This is going to be a good one.
You did, because you had me at, because she just messed around and dropped dead. How you mess around and drop dead?
She did. No, she literally, that scene, she literally messed around and dropped dead.
I guess you're right. But that damn book, terrible. I mean, yeah. Let's get into it. This is.
Yeah, this is going to be good. Now that y'all know what happened in the movie, let's get on into our general thoughts on Dear Frank. Before we get into our general thoughts on Dear Frank, I just want to thank y'all, the listener homegirls. We really appreciated your support all season long, and we're closing in toward the end of the season. So if you're looking for a way to support the New Chitlin' Circuit, your favorite movie podcast on every Monday, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We really appreciate it, and we really love to see y'all's feedback. Let's get back to the show. Now, Sydney, what did you think of Dear Frank?
I have many thoughts, which we will get into a lot of them during this review. But my only thought for this movie is one, this was tea. I don't know, like, this movie was like some true tea. This is something that I would, because y'all, any new listener homegirls, you may not know this about me, but some of the, OG homegirls, y'all might know that I do enjoy playing The Sims in my, like, recreational free time. That's what I enjoy. I love playing Sims. I'm a simmer. A black simmer, to be, accurate. And this is something that I would, like, most definitely, like, plot out for my Sims to do. Like, it just felt like, just
all of imagine this that happened in this movie? Oh,
absolutely. Because I got all the mods. You know, I got the drug mod. I got, my Sims can kill each other if they need to.
Oh, my God. I don't have that one. My Sims,
they can cheat on each other. So yeah. I got all the mods to make this, this movie happen in Sim World. I'm going to start live streaming my stuff on YouTube so y'all can watch me play.
Yeah.
And so this
playing a whole different game than what I've seen.
I don't
in the
do
EA
no
store.
Yeah, cookie cutter Sims. I'm playing. Yeah. This is my life. That's what I'm playing on Sims.
Okay.
So that being said, the drama of this film, the story, it fulfilled everything I needed throughout my watch. I was, I think this is the first movie that, like, Brian White has been, like, the leading man in. And honestly, hats off to him. He's been, like, had some supporting roles, like the fine man who was cheating or the fine man who was crazy. This one, he's the fine man who was crazy in the lead.
I feel like he was in, he had a lead role in a couple of other, he's done a lot.
He's done a lot, yeah.
Low budget movies, like a lot of like TV movies and stuff. He had a. Am I thinking of the right movie? It was a old 2000s movie. No, I'm not thinking of the right one. Okay, maybe
unless
not,
you're thinking know. About like The Family Stone. That was a huge ensemble cast. I watched that recently. It's a holiday movie. He's actually a gay man in that one.
Not Range. Okay.
Range.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is good to see him. I certainly was excited to see him.
Definitely. On the front of the he was a lead in this. I Could Do Better by Myself with Taraji. But he was like nasty in that.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed Brian's performance here. Claudia Jordan, who I know mostly from The Housewives of Atlanta, all I could think about was her curled under bob.
She had that bob completely folded under. Which is, and I know what this podcast is about. It's about indie movies, but I just want to say that Nene did not win that argument. She said that after Claudia walked away.
She did. I think because, when you have those moments and you lose in an argument, but like right after you lose and everyone like disperses and you go, damn, I should have said that. Nene used that moment with like Phaedra, Portia, and Candy. That's when she had her like, damn, I should have said that moment. It's fine. We all been there. You know what I'm saying?
Because Miss Jordan ate her up at the table.
Miss Jordan did. She did.
Okay. I just wanted to say that for the record.
Yeah, she did.
But this is a different type of role we're seeing Miss Jordan play here.
Yeah. So. She's still messy now. She's very messy in this role,
still
just as she was
tea.
On The Housewives. So, it was great. I can say wholeheartedly, I fully enjoyed my watch of Dear Frank. And I'll leave it at that. We'll get into some scenes. What did you think about the movie?
A wild ride. I have a lot of like, I could be really nitpicky about how some of the things played out, but to be honest, I was really like on, I was sitting at the edge of my seat like, oh my God. And then what? No,
but and who else? What? Like, all and the then way, what?
Love that. All the way to the when the credits rolled, the yep. plot was changing and like moving fast. Like there yep. was no time in the movie where we were like, okay, let's just chill for a minute. No, always yeah, going for it. So it was exciting. It was thrilling to watch, mm-hmm. really. So that's how I felt about it. I enjoyed it. I will speak favorably on this movie as time yeah. passes. Okay.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Okay. Well, now that we know what we're feeling about it, let's walk through some of the scenes. Let's talk about what happened in the movie. Here on the New Chitlin Circuit, we like to start with the first scene of the movie. And this movie opens up, I should have known it. I didn't know what this movie was about, but I should have known either. It. This movie opens up with this happy couple rolling around in some white sheets mm-hmm. on a sunny morning. Every time you see the wife rolling around in white sheets, you know she's going to die. That's how the movie
oh
starts.
Oh my God, that is like a telltale. That's so yep. true. Yeah, she is going to die. That is so true.
I should have saw it coming. So that's how the movie opens up. The happy couple is Frank, played by Brian White, and Beth, played by Claudia Jordan, who are in their home. They seem like they live in like mm-hmm. SoCal, right?
Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because it's a small town. It's not LA, wherever they live at.
Yeah, yeah. They kept saying town.
And I'm, yeah, I'm yeah. Like, I was like, oh,
please
okay.
show me the general store in this town. Like, why right. you guys talk about that? But yeah, they're happy and they are coming up on their like 22-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. They're married, you know? And Beth is writing a letter to him. And yep. it seems like they're writing a letter to each other to like open on the day of the vow renewal or something. That's what I thought was going on here.
Same.
this takes such a left turn. This movie does. But yeah, so it's very sweet and they're having a morning and Frank is outside like dancing or whatever. And
yeah, he got like, damn, living my life like it's golden, like blasting through his like headphones. He's outside picking lemons off the tree. And then he comes back in with like a fresh squeezed glass of lemonade. It's very yeah. like, oh, okay. Y'all are happy.
It's very love dreamy. Yeah. Now, question. Now, we know for a Black woman around the age of Frank, who is like, you know, late 40s, early 50s, mm-hmm. for a Black woman, they have living my life like it's golden, just fine. They have these songs yep, that make uh-huh. them feel like I'm on my shit today. Yeah. So what's the yep. Black male equivalent of those songs? Ooh. What do you think he was listening to? Of course the movie was playing like copyright friendly music, but like yeah, IRL. Yeah. What do you think he would have been listening to as a older Black Gen X man?
Maybe like an upbeat Stevie Wonder song, I feel like. Mm.
If he classy. Or I was thinking classy, DMX. Yeah. Gen X Black men love DMX.
They do. But like what DMX song are they really listening to? Like they thinking about like their spouse.
One that I don't know. I only know like 6 DMX songs.
Same. Yeah. I could see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe like, Method Man and Mary J. Blige.
Definitely I mean, that. Is he, if you know, he's from like, the North, definitely
yeah,
that.
He doing that for sure.
Oh, I guess a West Coast man would be playing Ice Cube's Today Was a Good Day. Something chill like
yep,
that.
Oh, yep. Okay, look at us. We understand the psyche of men. Yeah, that's
right.
Why.
We're so in the know. You be saying that you know what the boy's like, and I think it's true.
I've said it a lot this season. I feel like I've saved a lot of relationships on this show with my tips.
All right. Well.
Or at least got some of y'all out of these toxic ones. You know, one or the other. I've done it. So you're welcome.
Well, we have a very vocal audience and we have not received any like communications from them that indicate that saved their relationship. So I'm not sure that we have the data. To back
that's
that
point.
Up.
Yeah, they're more worried about my singing than my relationship advice.
Well, you make the singing an issue for everybody. You really force the issue.
So maybe you're right about that one.
Well, that's what's going on. That was a fun little tangent.
Yeah.
So they're having a perfect morning and, you know, they're leading up to, they have an event. right in the backyard, a nice little overlooking the hills, nice mm-hmm. pool in the backyard, very lemon tree, very nice backyard where they're going to hold their vow renewal. So they're there and, you know, they're doing their little vows and they have the priest there with them. I suppose it's the priest that married them.
Yeah, I think so. Because Frank says later in the movie, he's known the priest like their entire marriage. So for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they do their vows and it's really sweet. And the movie's dragging it. Like everybody's like, oh, you guys are so perfect. And da 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 da. Then
Frank and Beth were just, the perfect couple. We all look up to your relationship.
And after like a half a dozen toasts, Beth takes a sip of drink and drops the hell dead.
I don't know why that's so funny.
She just drops slap dead.
She knew.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, and this is my biggest, like, this is the strongest thing I have to say about this movie. Period.
Period.
The performance that Brian White gave when she dropped dead and was laying in that casket. Yes. I don't think I've seen acting like that in a long time.
It was giving like, remember Best Man Holiday after Mia's funeral? When Morris Chestnut, like his cat, when Lance really lost it at the burial site, I said, Brian.
Acting. It was so powerful. And I thought, because I didn't watch the trailer. I don't know what the movie's about. Yeah. Clearly she died. So I thought from that tone, I was like, oh no, this is going to be like, oh, he like loses himself and like maybe he finds a new woman or something.
I thought she was writing these letters, he was going to like find all these letters to him and like kind of help heal him and help him in the grieving process. Dear John. You know, exactly. The notebook, something. I don't know.
It was so emotional.
It was.
Okay. And that leads me to my next point that I feel the second strongest about. I want to talk about Columbus Short's performance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the film, which honestly I don't think was, you know, he's been acting for a long time.
Yeah, you he's know, I grew I mean, up Boys watching Emotion.
Columbus Short. Yeah. Yeah. In what was
That's All Right.
Stomp the Yard, you know, stuff like that. And loved him in Scandal and all that. So I know the man can act. I know he's had a rough couple of years. And he's had a lot of things to sort out for himself personally, but that's really not the point. When the issue I had with it was, this is relevant to the scene, listener homegirl, we're at the funeral and Brian White is given a performance of a goddamn lifetime.
He is.
And Columbus Short, whose place his brother, taps him on the shoulder and goes, it's all right, man.
Come on, man. Get up, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Nothing. Giving us nothing.
Yeah.
That was really hard. That was hard for me to get through because Brian White was giving it to us.
He was. And I think Columbus, his performance, he made up for that moment later in the film.
Yeah. And that's the thing, though, about like indie movies is that you never really know what the circumstances of that day on set was. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you can't retake the thing because maybe you don't have access to that location, or maybe it just doesn't work for everybody's schedules. Know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like
a few moments here anyway, so we got to get whatever we can, and then
It's harder to act with a like on a lower budget film because you have to get stuff right the first time, and it's very. I'm sure many of my favorite actors have had bad scenes like that, but maybe that's what happened. Maybe so. Columbus needed a retake, but they were like, did you just see what Brian did? We can't retake that.
Right, we cannot retake that.
Maybe that's what it was. It was just like, only had one shot to get it right, and he missed that shot, which is common. That happens all the time. But that scene was like, that scene made me like irked every time George, the character Columbus Short, came back on screen.
Yeah.
Because I was like, now what's he finna do now? What's he finna mess up for me now?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Because I felt so stolen from in that moment.
I think that's probably why I didn't like, because I'm looking at Brian White's like filmography. He has had a few other like leading roles in movies. So that was my bad. I was mistaken. But I think this is why like I probably thought he didn't, because this like role in particular just really stood out. Like his performance was like just so memorable and like, I don't know.
Oh no, he gave it to us and I can't do bad all by myself. That was
good. He did. He did.
That was good.
True. I haven't really watched that in a while. You're right.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, and he's kind of like, Brian White is at this point, he's kind of like BET's guy. Him and like, of course, like Carl Weber and like Trey Haley, like all the BET like single cam shows.
Yeah.
These are like, he's always involved in stuff like that. Like those, like he a is. Lot of BET, like TV movies and like the very dramatic shows they have on there.
That's true. So, like, that's true.
I just think we're not the demographic. It's not really for
that's probably what it is. I think, yeah, that's probably what it is.
I'm having a hard time adjusting to not being 25 anymore.
Yeah, girl, we're not in the 18 to 25 like age grouping now. They put us, we're in the 25 to 34 group now.
It stops at 34?
Yeah, or 39,
25, 39.
39? There's multiple. So you have 25 to 34, and then you can have like, if you want to widen the group, 25, 39, then there's like, you know, the Gen X group is like, I think 40 and older.
Well, while I grapple with the passage of time.
Yeah.
Brian White, I mean, he's made a really like consistent career for himself.
And he has. I didn't know that.
The chops really
were
shown off in that scene.
He's been nominated for a few different Emmys too. So let's give Brian White his flowers while we're here. Shout out to you, Mr. White. I didn't know all of these things about your career until recently. Mm-hmm. I have been rewatching Scandal and you were great in season 4 and like 5 when you guest starred. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was great.
And he's very handsome too.
He is very handsome. Yeah, he is.
He is very handsome. He's very good looking.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he done lost his wife. She dead. And he does what any reasonable person would do, which is lose his damn mind. You've been married to this woman for 20-something years. She drops dead suddenly at this big event.
On your anniversary, it seems, like the day of your vow renewal. Right. That'd drive me to drink.
I would have just been toe up. Now, he was driven to the drugs, too. He was buying the drugs and just snorting and popping and drinking all
and
type
drinking,
of which
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And he was just down in the pits. That was a Lenny Williams level of sad. I don't think I've seen
was.
It like that.
It was. And his performance in those moments of like us seeing him like do drugs and get drunk, like the darkness, like the shadow around his eyes, but like his facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Listen, Brian.
Nailed it.
You did that.
If anything, you know, I felt, and it's my last time I say it, I ain't gonna say it no more. But sometimes the movie felt like two different movies. The scenes where Brian White was on the screen felt like a different movie sometimes than next scene. We go, Frank is at the house, you know, drinking his sorrows away. And we cut over to the coroner's office where Columbus Short's character, George, George is Frank's brother and he's also a police officer. He goes to check out the coroner's report on Beth, and the coroner tells him that Beth was poisoned with this special plant
aconite
poison thing.
Yeah,
aconite.
Aconite.
Yeah. And I was just like, damn, I kind of want to see what Frank is doing.
What he's up to. Yeah.
But we get back over there. George goes over there to tell Frank like the news that, hey, we actually maybe want to sit down. But turns out maybe she was murdered. Well, she was definitely murdered.
She was definitely murdered.
Yeah. Which rocks him. And he starts spiraling even more. And then he finds
that notebook. And hallucinating. Yeah, because I want to say one thing. If it's Claudia Jordan played the hell out of the ghost of Beth. Okay, talking about who killed me, Frank? Who did it?
The editing was really good in this movie,
it
too.
Was.
I have to give it to him. The editing was sharp.
It really was.
Yeah, because they had her. Every time he turned his head around, she was
there. I mean, she was
who
there.
Killed
like,
me, Frank.
Who killed me, Frank? Who was it?
Yeah, so he goes, I mean, I guess he gets in his mind that maybe he want to look for some clues. And he finds a whole lot more than that. he goes, and how did he had to be real fucked up in the head, because he found this notebook in the nightstand. It wasn't
it wasn't locked away. It wasn't even like in some like secret knock behind the wall, the bookshelf like comes out. No, in her nightstand. It was
in a little lockbox in the nightstand, and he just had to wedge it open, you know?
Yeah.
And when he opens it, oh man. he didn't know what to do. So we get jumped into, as the viewer, we get dropped into this sequence of information he is reading in his book. And okay, let me tell you what's in the book.
Beth was a hoe.
She says, I love my husband. And it's the letter that we heard her writing in the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. I love my husband so much. He's so good in every possible way. I'm so sad I couldn't give him children, but I'm just glad that he with me every single day. I'm glad I wake up and see him. Mm-hmm. But I can't stop cheating on him.
That's what I did. Shout out to Quentin Brunson. Oh, like I was like, girl,
like what? I can't stop cheating on him. I do it all the time. Every time he leaves the house, everywhere I go, I'm thinking about
it's a new man over here.
I'm always so. I'm like
jaw drop.
I'm sorry. What's
my
going
mouth
on?
Is open. Frank's mouth is open. We are all flabbergasted. Like Beth is. She been doing what for 22 years? Cheating.
And it's messed up because the movie didn't explicitly say this, but I felt like he was on the brink of, okay, once I finish this bottle of whiskey, I'm gonna go back. I'm
get
gonna start
myself
going back
together.
To the gym. Mm-hmm. He was on the brink of climbing out of this depression.
Yeah.
So this took him a
man
whole damn
spiraled.
So okay. Now here's how the rest of the movie goes, listen, homegirl. Each of these pages, she has documented in detail who she fucked, when she fucked them, and exactly how they had sex.
Yeah.
In a notebook in the nightstand where she sleeps in the bed with her husband. That's what, like, why would you write this
That's
stuff down?
That's wild. This would also make a really good, like, novel, but, like, like me as the reader, and, like, I'm reading Beth's journal. But like as that would be good.
That's a good twist, because that's kind of like Zane's Addicted.
Oh yes,
which
it is.
Was also that movie. It's kind of like that.
With Sharon Leal. Yeah,
she did. Shout out to Sharon Leal. I love her. but yeah, so each page she's detailing all of this in this notebook. She has written
every dirty detail. I'm so bent out of shape.
Yes. She done wrote all this stuff down. So he's reading it, and all right, first stop. This is Atten, and this is where we find this out. He goes over to the church house.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, thank God this brother is going
to
get some kind of counseling.
He about to just find Jesus. Yeah. Let's talk
at this point, that made sense to me. This movie subverted your expectations, because like I was like, oh yeah, he's down in the pits. It got worser. It literally went from worse to worser.
Worser and worser.
And worser. So, yeah, let's go seek out a man of the cloth, nigga. Damn. Mm-hmm. He sits down behind the priest that was at the renewal. The priest that probably spoke at
that
the
married them.
Yeah, the priest. This is his priest. So, he talking to him, and I'm like, okay, thank God. Let's get a little relief. Let's see if he can turn this shit around. He did not come there to turn this shit around.
Nope.
He actually came there to confront the priest, because the priest is page number one in the journal. Beth has fucked the priest.
It still was up until her death. I mean, honestly, Beth had a roster like no other. It was so diverse and like clients. And like,
listen to homegirl.
Wow.
They showing us the flashbacks of Beth seducing and fucking this priest.
She got her legs up in the pews.
Claudia Jordan.
She plays too much.
What baby mothers say? I go to church, but only if I fuck the pastor. That's the type of shit Beth was on. Oh, he was in the motherfucking pew.
That's what Beth was doing.
Yeah, but it's quite serious, isn't it? Because
it's Frank quite serious.
Strangles yeah. the pastor to death, girl. And that sets the tone for the movie.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized what kind of movie it was.
We was getting into the same. I said, oh, wait a minute. Because I remember I was like, I got up at that point. I said, okay, Frank is like seeking solace. I wanted to get me a little snack. So I went and like grabbed. Yeah. And I came back and I said, wait a minute. Is the priest in a chokehold? What's going on?
Yes, he had him hemmed up. Hemmed and up. He went ahead on and killed him. Yes, he sure did. Mm-hmm. And so Frank is now back at the house plotting his next move.
Popping, I mean, snorting coke, taking shots of whiskey, whatever he's in there doing.
He is ready for whatever. If you ever seen, like, that is the definition. I'm ready for whatever.
Truly. TTG. Like, my man's was on go.
So, George comes over there, you know, hey, so somebody killed the pastor. Oh, no. Somebody killed him in the church. I
haven't heard anything about that.
I didn't say they killed him in the church. Oh, I heard it in the town.
Please.
In town. Everything was in town. The town is talking. Right. Okay. So, George, and this is really, this is what I'm saying. Men give other men too much slack. Like, they give them too much benefit of the doubt. One man will always be like, well, hey, man, you got to respect another man's space. You know, you don't want to intrude. Somebody dead, George.
And you are a police officer, a detective. Why is your mind not? Like, come on.
Right, right. He already a suspect in his wife's death. I know he didn't do it, but she dropped dead. You don't
live with her. You know?
Yeah.
How will she get poisoned?
So George is just letting all of this shit fly, right? So Frank, go stop number two. He got to go to the doctor's office. Now, I don't know what type of doctor this was. Or how he knew both of them. Maybe it was their fertility doctor or something. I don't know.
Maybe, because, I mean, they wouldn't have, could they have the same primary, like, care physician if it's a small town?
General practice type of
guy? Yeah, like, maybe, I don't know.
Listen to homegirls, if you had a daddy in the house, do y'all daddy have the same doctor as the rest of y'all? How that
mine,
work?
Mine did not, and he does not.
He got his own doctor, right?
Yeah, him and my mom got different doctors. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I don't know what type of damn doctor this is. Maybe it was a fertility doctor. Maybe he was a dentist. So. I don't know.
Or maybe, you can have the same dentist. I know that for a fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like the same eye doctor. We as a family had the same eye doctor.
Same. Yeah. We got the same eye doctor. It's not worth getting another one.
It's not. Just go.
Just go to the same guy. Yeah. So he goes into this doctor's office, and the doctor's kind of sleazy. I see why he mixed up in this. And Beth fucked the doctor on the table, on the stool, and now Frank knows all about it. So he goes ahead and poisons the doctor.
Beth is so messy. For detailing exactly what went down, like
what was her plan? Why would you do that?
Like, I like the next girl, love to journal, like jot out details about my day, but I'm never even that like detailed about what went on in my day when I journal.
Right.
So like that's Beth was on some other shit. That was crazy.
That's literally where do they do that at? We gotta bring that saying back.
We do. Where they do that at?
Yeah, so he kills the doctor, and now it's on. You know,
he got two bodies, and we don't know how many is left because Beth been cheating for 22 years.
And the notebook looked full as hell to me.
It did, because he was going page to page, striking out like the names of her lovers. I'm like, damn, Beth.
So my favorite one, honestly, just is kind of like John Wick meets Kill Bill. My favorite, enemy that he had to come across and defeat was the gardener. Scene happens. They have this gardener, and you know, Frank goes out there while the gardener's gardening, and he's like, oh man, you know, I heard about Beth. I'm so sorry about that. And Frank is like, she was a nice woman. And he goes, yeah, she was a nice woman. Did you feel that way, like when you was fucking her? So they have this whole argument, right? And the tension in the scene was so good. Once again, credit to Brian White and his performance. And boom,
Frank Wacko. He had this man dig his own grave unknowingly, whacked this man with a shovel, and then buried him where the lemon trees was at.
Yep.
Them trees gonna die, Frank. Lemons can't grow with dead bodies.
I don't think it worked. Yeah, I don't think they. Yeah. I don't think that's gonna be good for the soil. Yeah. Too much, you know, nutrients or something. In the
I don't know. Methane, the things that like bodies give off. That's not good.
Yeah. So yeah, he kills the gardener and strikes him off the list. And for that one, the reason it was my favorite, I like the tension in the scene and I like the creativity of the kill. But my my main thing was, okay, that makes sense. You fucked the gardener.
Right. Of all the men on the list, the gardener, he was buff.
He had these big muscles. That makes sense.
That does make sense. Yeah.
Fuck the gardener.
That's true.
A problem I have, this is a problem I have with the movie. This is what I don't like about this, about the movie, is what they did to Beth. They have these flashbacks where she has a therapist and she's talking about some like sexual trauma in her childhood is why she can't stop fucking people. But I'm like, that wasn't necessary. Two. It's killing the vibe, killing the mood.
It is killing, like, let's, like, I just want to see.
Why she couldn't just been evil? I wish she just would have had a plan.
She could have just been a hoe. Like, I don't know why that could, like.
The lady from Gone Girl, she didn't have no mental problems. She just wanted to fuck with that nigga.
Yeah, she did. And get the hell away from him, too, for a little bit. Yeah, that's true.
Right. I wish it would have been more of something like that. I wish
like she didn't have to have some kind of a dark backstory for her to just be acting crazy towards her husband. Yeah, that is, I agree with you. That would have made me probably like Beth's character more. Just like let her be out
especially
here.
Especially when Claudia was giving us such like a sultry, like, ooh.
Was it the gardener, Frank? Who killed me, Frank?
So yeah, Frank is going on killing. Now, who was the lady that came to visit Frank while he was drinking by the pool? Was that his
Kiki? Tori Hart. That was like his neighbor.
I know
Tori like,
Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you laughing at what she said in the scene?
Yes, I love that what she said. So Kiki shows up. I think she was like their neighbor or something because she was like, you know, I've been seeing you drive around town, Frank. You're driving crazy. And she shows up in the backyard and she just happens to witness Frank do a bump. He back there snorting. He goes, Coke, Frank? You a crackhead now?
That took me out because after she gave him a good pep talk and he was like, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I've been tripping. I've been fucked up, man.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's go in the house. Let's get you cleaned up. She goes, ain't even no bitches or nothing out here. You're just drinking and doing cocaine. That's what type of shit is that? You by yourself. You ain't even no bitches. Now that took me out of here.
Oh my
she's
God.
Like when I think of a good meltdown, I think of Malik Wright in the BET seasons of The Game. It was always some bitches around.
It was. It really was. It's panty dropping time.
Welcome back to Malik Mondays. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
So that was funny. She just pops in and that's it.
And I mean, like, she leaves a few voicemails. So we hear her voice a couple times pre her pop. I said, from the beginning, I said, is that Tori Hart? Gotta be.
Yes.
I don't know who else that
is. Yeah. So he's still doing his thing, still trying to hunt down all these men. And George, now mind you, now across town, George, his brother, is trying to put together all these murders because it's apparently a small town. So when somebody dies, when somebody gets killed in a small town, everything stops because we need to figure this out because we know who did it. It's one of y'all.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a killer among us.
Yes, right. It's not just some rando came to town. It's like, no, don't nobody be visiting here.
So he's really like trying to figure out this case or whatever. And he has his girlfriend. What was the girlfriend's name?
Her name was Carrie. She was from the UK. She's British.
Yeah. She was a British gal.
Yeah.
Was that good or bad?
That was decent.
It was okay?
Yeah, it was okay.
I'll take that. It wasn't I won't press it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's upset that he's not there. And like, you know, they have these little arguments or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's important though. He has a girlfriend.
Yes. Very important to the plot.
Yeah. So finally, George does put two and two together because Frank then went over to the real estate agent that mm-hmm. sold him and Beth their house, right?
And of course, and Beth was also having sex with the realtor. Him.
So Frank goes over there ready to get this shit together. And this time it really escalates. Yeah. He brings a gun.
Yeah. Right?
So
no silencer, Frank. That was going to be so loud. Like, come on.
Like, that was going to be the end of the road, buddy. They finna get you. So he pulls this gun out on his realtor. And the realtor's like, nigga, I'm gay. Like, what are you talking about?
It was my brother.
Right. The realtor has a twin brother. The realtor's name is Jamie and Jim.
Yeah. Jimmy and Jamie, something like that was their names.
And Frank misread the notebook and thought it said Jimmy, but it said Jamie.
Jamie.
And Jamie
died. I mean, not to do it to you, you done took 10 bumps of coke in the last hour and you chasing it with whiskey. I mean, you seeing double.
Yeah, you're seeing red. You're trying to start some shit.
Exactly.
that is a combination. Ain't nothing to do but start some shit.
Literally.
So, yeah, literally, he's like 2 seconds off of killing this guy, and it's the wrong guy. And he's like, don't tell nobody, and leaves. Mm-hmm. But, of course, he tells somebody, because, like, hello.
You put a gun in my face, bro. Right, like, and I know who's doing all these murders. It's Frank's crazy ass.
So the real estate agent calls George. George puts it all together and goes to confront Frank. And this is where things really pick up.
Escalate. Yeah. And this is like, this part is the last 20 minutes of this movie. And things escalate.
Yeah. So he goes over there, tries to nail this case and talk Frank down and bring him in. But it doesn't, you know, things get kind of out of hand. There's a tussle and Frank ends up tied to a chair. And George really think he won because Frank has realized that George is in the book.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But at this point, George thinks, do I have this right? Yeah. George thinks he's going to end it, but the girlfriend comes in. And
she does her little, you know, her little sweet
betrays
talk.
Him.
Yep. Yep.
And instead of shooting Frank, she shoots George.
Shoot George. Yeah.
And Frank and the girlfriend end up like, well, Frank kills George. He finishes that off.
Yeah. And this is the part where, this scene is where Columbus Short redeemed himself. His performance here, like begging Frank kind of for his life, but also threatening Frank at the same time. It was very much in my mind. It was.
Don't say it.
I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say it. It was. It was giving Training Day.
Oh, it's not giving Training Day. He did that on purpose. It was a joke. No.
Yes, it was.
No. It wasn't giving that.
It was.
Did you receive it? It gave that to you.
He was this close to saying King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Just because he did like the like finger like pointing thing that Denzel did.
It was the intense. It was the intensity. Oh, it was like his cadence of speech. Like
he was just imitating Denzel. It wasn't. No.
Well, no. That's what I felt.
Would you say that to Denzel Washington's face?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. So it's not. So please.
Absolutely not.
If you wouldn't say it to Denzel, Denzel didn't give a shit about dancing Idris, dancing address. So why would you think he would think that the comparison you just made was appropriate? And Denzel is a great actor.
He is, but you know, Denzel from round the way. You know, he leaving him with something. I thought he might.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that. Yeah. So we get to the, you know, the denouement of the film.
The pièce de résistance.
Yeah. George is dead and now Frank and the girlfriend are, you know, having a dinner. They're together now because she found out George was cheating, so she wanted to off him and like it's kinda like, haha, like they win in the end, these two.
Right.
But it turns into an ooh, what you say. Where Frank realized way a while ago that this girl is who poisoned Beth.
Yes,
because she did that because she knew Beth was fucking George. So Frank poisoned this British girl
Yep
here today at the dinner they're having. So she fakes like she's getting sick and finna fall out.
And die.
But she faking. And what happened was she switched to glasses and poisoned him.
That
and she's fine. And now he dead.
He dead.
And but, now it's a town full of bodies.
But well, you're missing a thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't Frank still have the gun on him?
He does.
Frank grabs the gun seconds before his last breath and shoots this girl in the head. And now they both dead. It's a town full of dead people.
You know what that now makes me think of? The fact that literally everyone involved in this case is now dead.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie No Country for Old Men?
I have not.
I think you would enjoy it. It's a good shoot 'em up movie, and it's very well made. But the whole movie is like this old sheriff. He's about to retire, and he's already retired. He's like, you know, I've seen a lot of things in my day, but nothing like this one case that I still cannot understand the calamity of it. And this is literally the same thing of like somebody just was going around killing people, and I can't, just looking at the bodies, I can't figure out why they're related.
Who did it? Damn, okay.
So yeah, I hope whoever was investigating this Frank case has the notebook. I hope they find the notebook.
I hope so
that
too.
Is the missing, that's the key piece.
That's true. Because then they'll know Frank did all these murders, and then that's right. Wrap it up. You're right. Yeah.
So that is Dear Frank. What a wild ride.
Highly recommend. I if you like, if truly this is a good, like, you want to like have you a few glasses of wine and have some friends over, watch this movie, like all have your little like moments, and then like have a big key after the movie.
Yeah.
This is y'all need to watch Dear Frank. This is we haven't done our wrap up, but this is like bumped up to the top of my list for our wrap up episode.
Your list. No, did you say our?
I said mine.
Okay. Your list.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Well, we'll see.
We watched a lot of great movies this year. I feel like this is the year.
Did.
I feel like we watched this season had the most good movies in it.
I gotta go back. Everything we did before, if I'm being honest, I don't know, like July, I do not remember. So I'm gonna really have to go back like think about all the movies because we watched so many movies this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's also a little teaser. Listen to Homegirl. You know, our season wrap up show is coming up in just like 2 or 3 weeks. So
stay tuned.
Before we'll talk more about what's to come in the next few weeks, but right now, we need to get to the awards. Sydney, who came to act?
I think it's clear. You know, I know, and I'm sure at this point, our listener homegirls know also. But each and every week, for those who aren't familiar, we nominate someone for our highly coveted, and I mean highly coveted, Who Came to Act Award. At the end of the season that we've already teased, only one actor will be crowned our Who Came to Act winner. That's 40, 50 some movies deep, y'all, okay? And we only pick one actor. So, for this week's nominee, it's clear. I'm nominating Mr. Brian White. You really, took the cake. 10 out of 10, deserve.
Yep. He's not in the studio with us tonight, so like everybody in the early 2000s BET Awards having to do for Beyonce because she didn't show up, I will have to accept this on his behalf. Yeah, he did great. A thing I want to say about Brian White's like acting is that like I feel from what I've seen him in, he's really super duper good at subtlety, at like a like subtle, like, you know what I'm saying? Like he can do the thing where like he can like change his mood, but keep his face the same. But you feel the aura change. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So to see him go full out. was really like, honestly,
it was thrilling. I don't know what else to say.
He's got a powerful weapon inside of him. He does. Acting wise. Aisha, does he do plays? I would love to see him on the stage.
I think Brian does do plays. At least he's done some plays, I feel like. Yeah. But I would love to see him on the stage. That, yeah, same.
He can play to the back of the room.
Truly. Literally. Acting like class one-on-one. Like, act to the back of the room. Yes, agreed. I think he has done a play or two. No, he has. In 2010, he did What My Husband Doesn't Know. Ooh, I gotta watch that.
Ooh, period.
That sounds good. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that is very nice. I'm glad we watched this. And this is actually, he produced this too, didn't he?
He produced Brian and co-directed this. He was one of the directors.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always nice to, like, I mean, to me, that's the beauty of, like, indie filmmaking is that you got an idea, make the damn movie.
Make it.
Now we get to watch it. Nice. All right. Well, listener homegirl, this is actually, you know, the next few movies we're going to do are all holiday season, okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to be given Christmas. It's going to be given and a happy new, hello.
Yeah, okay? Hello. Okay.
So gear up for that. You know, I think as far as non-holiday movies, this one being our final, like, regular movie of the season, mm-hmm. we really went out with a bang with this one, so I'm happy we watched it.
I agree, because we're about to enter Mariah Carey territory.
Definitely.
Next week. Yeah.
So, we got three more episodes coming out before the end of the season. Then we're going to wrap up and you guys will see who won the Who Came to ACK Award for the whole season. And then, you know, we'll take a little break and be back next year, but you ain't got to worry about that right now. We still got three
more episodes. Don't even think about that. Don't even think about that. Remove that idea from your mind. We still here.
Don't have to consider it at all.
Don't even worry about that.
Just keep showing up every Monday. We'll let you know. All right. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
All right. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks for listening. To join in on the conversation, follow us on Twitter at TNCCpod and on Instagram at New Chitlin Circuit. And that's spelled CHITLIN. And for the latest and greatest, check out our website at thenewchitlincircuit.com.